Announced changes to the Endangered Species Act are expected to go into effect next month. The modifications will be prospective and applied to species that would be new additions to the endangered list. Environmental groups are concerned about the changes, but some observers say the impact is most likely to be incremental. One of those is attorney Paul Weiland, who's a former deputy U.S. attorney in the Land and Policy Section, Environmental and Natural Resources Division of the Department of Justice. Our co-host Steve Goldstein spoke with him and asked about frustrations some landowners have had with the ESA.
So the Endangered Species Act, among federal environmental laws, has been referred to as the pit bull historically, and that's principally because it has in it a set of prohibitions on activities that could kill or harm or harass protected species. And the process of deciding whether to protect a species explicitly cannot take into account societal or economic consequences. And so in contrast to many other federal environmental laws like the Clean Air Act or the Safe Drinking Water Act, where costs and benefits are actually purposefully balanced, the Endangered Species Act takes that balancing out of the equation. And so that leads to circumstances where there's more friction between societal concerns and protection of species. So over time, different administrations have tried to be more or less flexible about their implementation of the act to try and balance those societal concerns with endangered species protection. And I think what we're seeing is some of the ebb and flow of that, which isn't always partisan. Frankly, the Clinton administration was probably the most progressive in terms of trying to actually balance the needs of landowners and government agencies with endangered species and seeking kind of win-win solutions versus being more of a hard-nosed set of regulators about how the act is implemented.
How significant could this change be then in thinking about the economic impact of protecting a certain species? That seems fairly significant to a lot of people.
I think that actually the set of regulatory changes that have been proposed are more incremental than revolutionary in this particular circumstance. And the economic factors is a good example. So it was Congress that decided that when you decide whether to list a species and protect it, that it's not it's forbidden for the agencies to consider the economic consequences of their listing decision. And so only Congress can change that. And actually, in the final regulation, the Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service acknowledge that fact. And unfortunately, some of the reporting has suggested that they are going to be injecting economic considerations into the process. What they have done is they've said that they can report on the economic consequences of a listing decision. So that can be part of the disclosure that they make in their public documents when they decide to list the species, but they can't consider it in deciding whether to list the species. And that distinction is pretty important, even though it may seem pretty nuanced.
Was there a general feeling that certain aspects of the Endangered Species Act need to be updated periodically? And was this one of those times generally?
I think that, yeah, across a broad spectrum of kind of practitioners who work with the act, there is agreement that it needs to be updated. But the rub is that different people think different aspects need to be updated. So there are some areas where there's some commonality, actually. And some of the changes that were made, I think, are changes that there would be a common agreement on that. For example, there are a number of places in the regulations where the administration adds language that their decisions should be based on the best available scientific information, which is a phrase that's used in the statute as well. And I think whether you're, you know, for or against kind of the act or whether it's overly protective, most people would agree that if we're using science to guide us, that's a good thing. So some of those changes, I think, are the kind of changes a lot of people can get behind. Others, there's going to be some controversy involved with them because they make it more difficult to conduct other activities other than conserving species, or because they make it less difficult. And whenever that happens, you're going to have the folks on the regulated side of the equation or the folks on the species side of the equation kind of crying foul.
Okay. So these new guidelines generally were proposed at least a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that, and they're scheduled to take effect sometime next month. Any thoughts on how soon we'll start to see the effects of that?
Yeah, so one important thing to note about them is that the guidelines are, by and large, almost entirely prospective. So what that means is that any species that's already protected under the Act will continue to be protected. Any area that's been designated as quote-unquote critical habitat under the Act will continue to be critical habitat for the particular species at issue. So the impacts are going to be felt kind of gradually over time. And as I said earlier, I think they're incremental. And so I don't think we're going to see the type of kind of wave of impacts that some are concerned about here. What we will see is that with some species, for example, if there is a new petition to list a species, and there are some questions about whether it may at some point in the future be endangered, but right now it looks pretty healthy, that may be a circumstance where under the new rules, the administration will be less apt to list the species and protect the species as compared to how it would have handled it under the prior rules.
That's our co-host Steve Goldstein speaking with attorney Paul Weiland about changes to the Endangered Species Act.